And good evening. Welcome to the Phil Henry Show here. And we're with you every night, Monday through Friday here, the Phil Henry Show, brought to you by Henry Radio and, you know, just all of the people that are with us. What is all of that, man? These are friends, bud?
Yeah, it's boss to a flame.
That's pretty cool. That's perfect. That's exactly what I'm talking about, man. No more of the blues. I like the blues when I'm sitting home and when I'm relaxing around a, if you'll pardon the expression, cocktail. But for bumper music, I want that. I want the voice of Satan, and I want it now. You understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, welcome back to the program here. And again, we're online at philhenryshow.com, where there's a live streaming video cast of our show right now. If you want to watch how we do this, which may not be something you want to see, but if you'd like to, you can join us at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass. You see not only our video cast, you get the video cast archives, you get the daily podcast of the show. You can actually listen to the show if you want by way of the video cast. And also, we have the archives of our audio casts, of our radio show, to be specific, and a bunch of other stuff there at philhenryshow.com. Steve Bozell is a construction contractor from Corona, California, and he joins us on our newsmaker line tonight, discussing with us something having to do with his daughter's school. Now, the school is C.K. Corona Middle School. It is a public school, but it is a one of these magnet schools, I guess, for higher achieving kids and children with good grades and with perhaps a higher potential, so that they sort of move all of these kids together. And maybe that means a bit more of a fast track for them. Steve is joining us from his home in Corona. I understand you just got off work, sir.
Yes, sir. Just a few minutes ago.
Tell me the genesis. You've had problems with this school before. I know that.
Yes, sir, I have.
Tell me about the problem. And who is the headmistress there?
The head mistress is Erica Dorton, D-O-R-T-O-N, and she has engaged in some things that we've found objectionable, and not to mention what we feel is the controlling nature, I think, of the school over the mind, of the very mind and you know, body and everything of the children. I'm a little bit nervous, sir, so you'll forgive me.
No, you're doing fine. Now, this all started, the most recent problem, because you've had problems with the school calling your home and so forth.
Yes, sir. They have called repeatedly, late at night, especially when we're asleep. I'll get phone calls from Mrs. Dorton or Ms. Dorton. We're not even clear as to the marital status of this woman, because she is at a very elevated position with the school, and it's very rare that you actually have any contact with her. Most of the contact that the parents have with the school is with the administration people below her, vice principal, and so on and so forth.
All right, tell me about the most recent problem, and I'm sorry to hear this. This should not be at a public school. Tell me about the most recent situation.
Well, the most recent situation is it's impersonal. I mean, it is personal to my home. My wife's parents are divorcing for the first time. Well, excuse me for saying it. They're divorcing after 43 years of marriage.
Right, so this is not their second time they're divorcing.
No, sir, I'm sorry, I misspoke.
No, that's all right.
They're divorcing and after 43 years. And my wife told me that the genesis of this was a very highly personal matter, but it was instigated by her mother against her father, that she was the one who filed for the divorce. And I asked why, and she said it was highly personal. So it's nothing that I want to broadcast on the show, if you understand.
No, I was told by my producer, Bud Dickman, and others, that you wanted to keep this confidential. But there's a reason why she's filed for divorce. Does it? And I was told that, yeah, not to mention anything? Okay, I'm told that...
If you wouldn't mind, Mr. Andy, because we don't...
She didn't want to have anybody know.
I just would rather not have anyone know of what it was about. But I can tell you that I advised my wife just in conversation at the breakfast table and what have you, that I thought it was a bad idea and that they should stay together. And I gave my reasons for that. And my daughter overheard the conversation, and she took it to the school.
Now, here's where the problem begins. Not so much with the conversation you're having with your wife or the reasons for the divorce between your father and mother-in-law, but it's when the daughter takes this conversation, this family conversation, to the school, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And this has happened before.
Yes, it has. And it's happened before, and I found myself at odds with it, and then I find myself coming around to their way of thinking. And probably at least a half a dozen times I found myself agreeing to very objectionable things. And I've tried to look inside myself and inside my heart and my mind to find out why I'd go along with something that's so wrong. And I always come back to the same thing, that, you know, I want the best for my daughter. My wife does, too. We think she's in a good school. We think academically it's a good school. But to keep her there, we have to go through, I think we have to go through, if you will, a gauntlet that we think is unacceptable.
Now, you just said something very interesting there. You said that you find yourself at odds with the administration, but then you come around to their way of thinking, and you don't quite know how that happens?
Well, I do. I mean, it makes sense at the time. To give you an example, I had a problem with some policy of the American administration under President Obama. There was some international situation. My daughter went to the school and reported this to the school, and the school had called me and asked me why I felt the way I did. And I said, I don't really know how that's any business of yours.
I want to be clear. The school brought you in to talk to you about an opinion you had on President Obama?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And they were concerned, they said, as to what might be taught to my daughter because it goes against what they're teaching. And I was called into the school. I was told to report to a Mrs. Gladington, which is the sixth grade class that my daughter is in, and I was told to stand in front of the class. And at that time, I was questioned by the students as to my opinions.
Well, this is something out of the Khmer Rouge. You know what I mean?
I'm not familiar with that.
Well, the Cambodian, the revolutionary government of Cambodia in the 70s used to have the children inform on their parents. It was a very frightening time. It was a dark ages, and this has a little bit of a ring to it that's similar.
It's only insofar as they want me to explain why we have opinions that may go against what the teachers are teaching, and I've stood there, and I stood there, and I tried to withstand it as much as I could, but I couldn't take it anymore.
Couldn't take any... What couldn't you take, sir?
The questioning by the students, one child in particular, a young Bradley Shamir is his name. This boy is 11 years old, going on... I mean, he's going on 51 or 2 or something. He questioned me and questioned me. He drilled in and drilled in. And I was feeling weak. I had to sit down.
Are you telling me an 11-year-old kid was interrogating you?
That's what it felt like. It felt like, yes, sir. And so I answered the best way I knew how.
And what was this was all about some Obama thing that you can't remember?
I don't remember it now. All I know is that I was questioned and questioned. That night I got a call from Mrs. Dorton. One of the few times I've ever spoken to her, I didn't really even speak to her. She spoke to me, and you can't even say she was speaking so much as she was simply making her presence felt. And,
All right, so this is the situation. Hold the line for a second, Steve. This is the situation that we encounter here this evening as we open up the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and that is Mr. Bozell of Corona, California, a daughter going to a middle school there that is interested in the opinions being expressed at the home in case they go contrary to what they feel is good good information, good parenting. And this man has been called to the school before and interrogated by his daughter's class on why these things are expressed. Now, there's a problem at home having to do with, it's not even a problem, but his father and mother-in-law are being divorced, and there was an opinion expressed at home. That's made its way now to the school, and another problem has ensued. We're going to get back here to the conversation with our guest here, Steve Bozell, on the world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. Don't forget, we're online at philhenryshow.com with a video cast right now of this here show. And, of course, every night after the show, we've got a show log up for you. Back with Stephen Bozell and more. Our number is 855-500-7445. 855-500-7445. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. World-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. Our number is 855-500-7445. 855-500-7445. And Stephen Bozell joining us from Corona, California. The man is a father, he's a husband, he is a construction contractor, and he's also a guy with a girl in a school, CK Corona Middle School, that he feels is, he thinks the school is not the doing the right thing by his daughter. But this has got more to do also with the conversations that are being reported back and forth between the school and your home by your daughter, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, they use my daughter. They use all the kids at the school to find out what's being said at home. And
the school to find out what's being said at home?
Yes, sir. And when April is my wife and told me that her parents were going to get a divorce, and they've been married 43 years. And I told you there was a reason for this that we'd rather they not talk about. And I expressed the opinion, well, I don't think they should get divorced. 43 years is a long time. Even though what happened was something that April's mother felt she wanted to file a divorce on. My daughter went to the school and reported that I had expressed this opinion. I had to go down to the school again.
Why do you go to the school? Why not say no?
Well, if you say no, then your child is put on what is called temporary status. That is a temporary review status where they want to come in and do a parent-teacher review. And that means you got to go in and sit down and possibly meet with Dorton. And that prospect is frightening.
Sir, every time you mention this woman, Erica Dorton, there's this fear that you have, and I'm not exactly sure, but it seems to me like there's some intimidation going on here.
Yes, I want to say something. This is Margaret Gray, Mr. Bozell.
Yes, ma'am.
It seems like the intimidation that is happening here is at the very highest level. You said there are late-night calls, and I'm wondering why you've not reported this to the district, the school district.
At the school district, when I went to the school district and I said that this woman was calling up, late at night, after we had, after I'd been down there to the school and I talked to the people, I was told to talk to the students and I was told to stand there and, you know, basically keep my mouth shut. I mean, nobody said keep your mouth shut, but I was told to stand there and keep my mouth shut and just listen. And
you were told to stand there and keep your mouth shut and listen. So, yeah, you were told to keep your mouth shut.
No, I wasn't. I mean, not in so many words, but they just said, listen to the students as they will then tell you. And I did that, and I tried to do what I was told. And then late at night, what they do is they call in with these, they will call in with just a phone call, and I can't hear anything. I don't know what's being said. I don't know what's not being said. And that's what's intimidating about it.
Wait a minute. How do you know the school? You're listening to something that's coming in, and you can't really tell what it is. Is that correct? You don't know who it is. It's just something that's coming in on the other end of the phone. Correct? Did we lose the man?
This is a tape recording.
Oh, hold on. It's on the screen. Mr. Henry, I played that. That's how I was setting up the tape.
What was that?
That was the tape.
That was the tape of whoever calls your home.
Yes, ma'am, that's correct.
All right, so what I heard there was someone breathing into the phone.
Yes, sir, that's who we feel is Ms. Dorton. I can play it again for you if you want.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
April 22. Hi. That was the second of two, right? Okay, that's the second of two.
How do you know that's Erica Dorton? What I heard was a tape of someone going, oh, yeah.
Well, they're breathing into it. It happens every time that I am called to the school and I'm told to go down and talk to Bradley Sugarman. And
who's Bradley Sugarman?
That's the young boy who's in my daughter's class. What, honey? My daughters tell me Bradley Sugarman is one of the brightest kids that she's ever seen. I don't know what that means.
Bradley Sugarman, and this is a kid that's in her class.
Yes. My daughter asked if you would not refer to him as a kid. You could say Bradley Sugarman or Mr. Sugarman.
I don't think we're at a place right now where we're going to be calling anyone by any Mr. or Mrs. He's a kid.
Well, that's fine, Miss Gray. I'm just telling you what my daughter said.
Well, I don't care what your daughter said. Tell your daughter that for me. I don't care what she said.
Honey, she heard you.
Okay, this is ridiculous. Tell your daughter to leave there. I don't like the intimidation factor of that, okay?
I mean, she's a little tiny kid, but yeah.
I'm not going to be intimidated by some child.
All right, we're talking with Steve Bozell from Corona, California, on the school that his daughter attends, on what do we got now, bud?
Just received a phone call from April Jr.
Okay, was that, honey, were you on the phone to the radio station?
And she stated that, well, here.
Did you write this down? Why do you do that in crayon?
Because that's what I have.
Get him a felt pen, will you, Robert?
I'll give him a felt pen he don't want to use. Use a crayon. That's the only thing there is.
Give me that. The Mr. and Mrs. Bozell's parents, Roger and Jeanette Goodwin, divorcing after 43 years because of the father's, well, it's right here, and apparently your daughter called it in.
Hold on for a minute. Honey, did you call that in? Oh, great. Thanks a lot, Mr. Mom.
Apparently they're divorcing because the father was engaged in extramarital sexual encounters with prostitutes, some of whom were men, and this was at a particular location raided by police. These individuals, the Mr. and Mrs. Bozell from Knoxville, Tennessee?
Yes, sir. God.
Okay, so what we have here then is this was private information, I understand, but in the public interest, I have to, and if I get this information, and it is a public interest, which it is, I am almost duty-bound to announce it. Do you understand?
No, sir, I don't. But I don't blame you because my daughter did it. And,
So your mother and father-in-law are getting divorced because your father-in-law was involved with prostitutes, some of whom might have been men, at a location in Knoxville, Tennessee that had since been raided by police? Was he arrested?
Yes, sir.
I mean, I'm going to ask you questions. I don't know. You might as well answer them.
Mr. Bozell, I don't think there's any reason now to keep anything under wraps. Your daughter violated that trust. It doesn't surprise me. Nonetheless, Phil is right. This is in the public interest.
Well, in the public interest of who? I got a wife that I'm going to have to deal with. Now I got a school I got to deal with. I got it coming at me from all sides. And as I had mentioned on your program, Mr. Henry, a number of years ago, even a little wad of mayonnaise on my chin got my wife talking up and down the block and talking all over town about how I took one off the chin. And now, if I...
I don't understand that.
Never mind about you taking one off the chin, okay?
But what I'm trying to say is now, with my daughter reporting this, the fact that the school is going to call me on the carpet, the fact that my wife is now going to be upset with me because this information has been made public... This is the equivalent of me sitting up after somebody has said cut, and I got a towel on my face.
Okay, some of these references that you make to you've been on the show before talking about toweling off. Now you got a father-in-law that's been arrested for frequenting some sort of a house of ill repute or prostitution in Tennessee, Knoxville, Tennessee, and this is the cause of a divorce or a pending divorce between your father and mother-in-law, and you don't want any of this. Now, who are you protecting? That's what I'd like to know. Why are you protecting these people?
Because I told my wife that after 43 years of marriage, why would they be getting a divorce? And she said to me that, her father was caught with a man. Her father was caught with a man. I didn't want to say it, but there, okay, I've said it. God.
Okay, so what? So then what?
They're getting a divorce.
Well, sounds good to me.
If I were that woman, I would divorce the man, yes.
Well, my opinion was that it was wrong to do because of the marriage, what had been happening, 43 years, and everything.
Okay, get a glass of water and calm down, okay?
I got to do.
Get a glass of water and calm down. Calm him down, will you, bud?
What's that mean?
Just calm him down.
Yeah, man, give him a shoulder rub, man.
Shut up!
Okay, take it easy. Didn't say give him a shoulder rub, just calm the guy down. Mr. Stephen Bozell, Mr. Bozell is a gentleman whose parents, his father and mother-in-law, I should say, are getting a divorce as a result of his father-in-law's indiscretions, this activity that he's had with prostitutes, one of whom a male prostitute, whatever. But the fact is, the divorce It became news at the school. He was called to the school to answer for, you know, his opinion that they should stay married. I think that was it, right?
Yeah, I think the real crux of this is Mr. Bozell's opinion that they should stay married, that this is no reason for a woman to divorce a man, which, of course, is patently absurd, and it makes me angry. Forget it.
All right, well, we'll be right back with more here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445.
Is my mic still on? I want to say something. Is the mic turned off yet, bud?
Yeah, it's on.
Tell that ass that if I see him go through my purse one more time and pull out my...
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. On the line with us, Stephen Bozell, Mr. Bozell from Corona, California. We're also going to bring on, in a moment, Frank Gray, who is an entertainment attorney. And, Margaret, you tell me, with a story to tell.
Frank has a story to tell. I don't know that this is the venue, but you asked me, and so I got on the phone, and he was willing to tell that story.
All right, getting back here to Mr. Bozell. The story is, and by the way, our folks, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445 is our number. If you care to comment on there's a lot going on, but first of all, you don't think that these people should be divorced because of this indiscretion. It's just far more than that.
Look, I know it's far more than an indiscretion, Mr. Henry. I know that the man had sexual relations with prostitutes. There was one. I don't think the fact he had sex with a man. It's just that, you know.
Don't you think that would affect the future of the marriage if he's gay?
No, I don't think he's gay. I think it was a transsexual situation.
Well, that does change. I think that changes the complexion of this.
You mean like if somebody has pimples?
Would you ask him?
Bud, shut up, okay?
I just asked.
No, not pimples. The complexion of the topic.
The complexion of the topic, yeah.
But my thought was to say to my wife, I don't think they should divorce on account of that. 43 years. Understand, that's a long time. She's going to throw this man out in the street. She's going to take a man she's been married to for 43 years and pitch him into the gutter. I was sticking up for her father, and I was sticking up for the marriage of her parents. They're not my parents. They're her parents, but they are my father and mother-in-law, and I do admire them greatly for the 43 years they put in. He got frustrated. He went out, and he went ahead and tagged up, and that was the term I used. That's what got her angry in the first place, and that's why my daughter reported it.
What did you say?
I said that he tagged third base and bolted for home.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, I mean, that's a term that we use in construction all the time about guys that go out with a male escort service who are married. I thought you'd heard that.
I've never heard that term. I know it's a baseball term. I had no idea.
This is a term that has to do with men that cheat on their wives?
No, it's a specific term. Mr. Henry, it's pretty common. When you tag third and head for home, you're tagging up.
What's that got to do with a male prostitute?
That's what we say.
I've never heard that term before in my life. Frank Gray is on the line with us. He is the husband of Margaret Gray, who is one of our panelists this evening. And Frank is joining us. He is an entertainment attorney in Santa Monica. Frank, how are you?
Man, I'm better than Custer. How are you?
Good, good. Frank, I know this is very delicate. We have Mr. Bozell on the line with us.
All right, Mr. Bozell, how are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you.
What can I do for you?
Frank, Margaret said you'd have no problem talking about this... Jerry Zeno?
Oh, Jerry's...
Well, Frank, you said that was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. Jerry Zeno was a man that I had a relationship with when he played hockey for the Tacoma Comets. This was a Western Hockey League team. And I was doing some agent work for some of the minor league players. That this before I went into the management? In the management, yeah. But she was a player for the Tacoma Comets.
All right, now I got to tell my audience that Mr. Gray suffers from gender confusion.
Would you repeat that, please?
No, nothing.
I don't want you talking behind. You're already bringing up the fact that I had a relationship with a male, someone who played, she played hockey, so she was very manly. God, Margaret, if you had anything to do with this.
Frank, you said you had no problem talking about this.
I had no problem talking about when I have a couple of drinks in me. At least you could have called ahead and said, and I would have sent Umberto out, and she could have gotten a bottle of Dewar's.
All right, I don't want to have a family argument here, Frank. If you don't want to talk about it, you don't have to talk about it.
Well, it's too late now. He said he told you about it, didn't he?
Who?
Who? My wife, Margaret. He's the one that spilled the beans.
No, you're the one that told me about this.
Yes, between a man and a woman. All right? When she tells her wife, okay, and he promises his husband not to say anything, that's what happened in our marriage, Phil.
Say that again?
Yeah, repeat that again, Frank.
Don't piss me off.
Nobody's trying to piss you off. I just want to know what happened here.
Well, why? For the salaciousness of everything? I'm married to Margaret, okay? And he promised me when we got married, for better or for worse, and it doesn't get much worse, that when he finds out that I was sleeping with a guy, and I'm not even gay, it just was something I did to get the contract to represent her in her negotiations with the National Hockey League.
So you slept with a guy in order to get this guy's name on the dotted line to represent him?
That's it. There you go. That's the baby. I knew you could do it. Okay, put two and two together. What's it make? I'll tell you what it makes. On any given day in any interplanetary system that you want to... the number's four is what I'm getting at.
All right, so what are we talking about here?
Yeah, thank you very much. That's what I want to know.
All right, hold on, Frank. What are we talking about?
What we're talking about, Phil, is Frank. I married him anyway, so I do see Mr. Basel's point of view on this.
Well, my name is Bozell, if you don't mind. You know,
all right, Mr. What is it again?
My name is Bozell.
Okay, who are speaking now? Is this my wife or is this Basel?
Sir, my name is Stephen Bozell.
Forgive me. You're not my wife, though, are you?
No, sir.
Why would you ask that?
I am so discombobulated and put out and PO'd that I could...
Frank, all I ask is all I've ever asked. When you get home tonight and you get angry enough, don't hit me in the face. You know I've got a photo shoot tomorrow.
Come on, will you? Don't talk that way.
I'm only kidding.
Yeah, he's only kidding. I get home, and you know who's more likely to take one off the chin? Me. And not from any punch, either. He's more likely to have a penis than me. That's how I'm how emasculated...
How dare you say something like that?
Well, I feel emasculated, you telling everyone that I slept with her. She was a fine young man, and...
Well, did you or didn't you?
Yes, I did, but I told you why I did. Okay?
All right, sir, so you slept with a hockey player to get the name on the dotted line, and all I'm saying is that Mrs. Goodwin, who is my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, Mr. Goodwin, he slept with a man and a bunch of women because, well, I guess... It is different because he, you know.
Well, he was getting his cookies. I'll tell you what he was doing. He was getting his cookies, letting her go out and do those things.
What?
I'm saying your mother-in-law was getting his cookies, letting your father-in-law, letting her go out and do those things. I bet you anything that your mother-in-law, he knew everything that was going on with your father-in-law.
Yeah, but my father-in-law is a he.
That's what I said. She's going out and sleeping around.
I don't understand.
All right, hold on for a minute. What we have here is an agreement between you and Margaret, Frank, that Margaret understood, and it's all good. Your marriage is fine.
Oh, yeah, my marriage is fine, but he told you that I'd slept, you know, with a guy. And even she didn't say anything about it.
Who?
The guy I slept, boy. I'm going to... If it was legal to take a man and to throw him off a pier... In a car, in the trunk of a car, I think about it. That's how I'm...
Are you referring to me?
Maybe. I'm so put out by it.
All right. Thank you very much. I'll let you go, Frank, okay?
Yeah, uh-huh.
boy, I had no idea that what was happening there was quite so...
Well, Frank, as you know, as the audience should know, suffers from something called gender confusion. This is the result of an untreated sexually transmitted disease, one that he acquired before he married me, and one, thank God, knock wood, I have not acquired. But because of the gender confusion and his advanced years, he makes about as much sense as, he makes about as much sense as he makes, which is no sense at all.
All right, well, that's fine. But after all of that, I'm not sure there was a connection necessarily. Steve, did you see what he was saying?
I think what he's trying to say and what Ms. Gray was saying was, it ain't no thing, you know? And that's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay, so you saw that as a backing up your point of view.
Yeah, backing up my point of view, because I don't think there's anything wrong with her, with him. Not, now I'm confused. I'm trying to remember the gender of my mother-in-law.
The gender of your mother...
What is wrong with you?
Because that man was on saying the gender of your wife, not your wife, Mr. Henry, but your wife, Mrs. Gray, not your wife.
The gender is female. You tell him you don't have his condition, do you?
No, I don't, but he confused me.
Oh, come on. So you're saying that you're backing up your mother-in-law. You're backing up your father-in-law.
Yeah, see, even you're confused.
No, I'm not confused. You're backing up your father-in-law and saying there's no point in divorcing him. They've been married a long time. It was a mistake.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Well, I agree. I think it is. It's a gross mistake, an egregious thing to do. But nonetheless, I think that cooler heads can prevail. But I will tell you this. For this man, after 43 years to go out and sleep with prostitutes, one of whom is a male prostitute, shows a depravity and a degradation of morality which I dare say I've not seen in many a year.
All right, don't start doing that, okay?
Doing what?
You're going to start doing sloppy jaw, you know?
Yeah, you do sloppy jaw. I sound all dramatic.
Don't tell me how to speak and express something that I feel is very important. Now?
Yeah, okay, I recognize slop jaw because I recognize, you know, what that happened.
It is not slop jaw.
Well, I heard Mrs. Dorton, you know, when she's breathing into the phone, it's almost like she's got...
All right, hold on, everybody. I don't want to have this whole thing messed up with you going, you know?
What? Good God, what happened to you? You're almost like one of those kids sitting at a picnic bench in his own little orange vest so someone doesn't run him over even though he's 100 yards off a road.
In other words, I'm mentally disabled.
Yes.
I'm going to belt you. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we continue this discussion, this fantastic discussion here, concerning the Bozells, their marriage, and how it all relates to CK Corona Middle School, Erica Dorton, and all the other mouth breathers. World-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445. We'll be right back after these very important and immortal announcements. Show here at philhenryshow.com and at a radio station or a radio nearest you as soon as, you know, we can. We're making strides, and we're making some good strides, and we appreciate all of the stations, all of our listeners, all of our sponsors, all of you for being with us. We have Steve Bozell from Corona, California, a construction contractor, a father, a husband. Margaret Gray is with us. We also had her husband Frank join us. A very bizarre tale of your mother and father-in-law getting divorced after 43 years after it was discovered your father-in-law had been frequenting prostitutes, as well, one of them being a man, and you argued to your wife that your in-law should not get divorced because it's been so long.
Well, yeah, it was 43 years of marriage, and I don't understand, you know, it's a bad thing when a man comes to a woman and says, I've got to tell you and confess to you at this time that I have had, you know, relationships. And what you want to do is get back to a normality of relating to your wife as quickly as very possible. I went to my wife and confessed to her that I had had abnormal relations with a woman.
Now, when we say abnormal...
What does that mean, abnormal relations?
Well, I mean, I had relations with a woman that was not my wife.
Okay, well, you call that abnormal.
That's not exactly abnormal.
Well, yes, it is. It's abnormal. I mean, that's how I feel about it.
All right.
I had abnormal. I understand it. I mean, I didn't ask her to do anything that she wouldn't have done. And I asked her to do some things, and I hope God will forgive me for those, and I asked my wife to forgive me, and you know.
What did you ask your wife? So you cheated on your wife as well?
Yes, I did, and I did at this time. We'll tell you that now at this time I have to tell you that I had an abnormality with a woman where it I put, you know, we had sex in the wrong way, in the way that a man will have it with another man.
All right, Mr. Bozell, I understand.
Well, that... So why did you have to tell your wife that?
I felt like I needed to tell April everything that happened. That was the only way I was going to clear my conscience.
You know, there's an old saying, let sleeping dogs lie. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't tell. What are you looking at?
What does that mean?
Yeah, what's that mean, Mr. Henry?
Look at guys, don't give me the big oddball look. If you want to say something, say it.
Well, what does it mean?
It means, do you have to tell everybody the actual graphic truth? He told his wife that he was not faithful to her. Now you're getting around to telling her what kind of sex you had with the woman?
I would never... I mean, are you kidding me, Mr. Henry? Why wouldn't you? You want to be honest with her. You want to be honest with her. And the things that I did with this woman, I had to tell April because I felt like I had shamed her and I wanted to know how much I loved her and how much I wanted to purge myself of this. I told her all about it. I told her all about it, and thank God my wife took me back. She didn't take me back in the way that I hoped she would. We sleep in separate rooms, okay? A lot of people say that's not taking you back.
All right, so you told your wife every little detail.
Yes, I did, sir.
What else?
Oh, boy, get a load of you, so you want to know all the details, huh?
Yeah, I was going to say, Phil, you know, you're beginning to betray your own lurid interest.
If the guy's telling me about how he had sex with another woman, quote, the way two men do, end quote, then why not tell us the rest?
All right, I will tell you. There was God forgive me, there was toilet behavior.
Oh, God.
What kind? Was it?
Shut up, bud.
Well, I'll tell you.
Don't get that graphic, please, okay?
Well, there was toilet, and we did toilet, and we did the way men do it.
Well, this is really adult, Phil. Are you proud of yourself?
Wait a minute. Whoa. You don't put this on me. You're not putting this on me, are you?
Well, you sort of brought it up.
Very adult, Phil. Toilet and the way...
Mr...
Oh, great. Now you're laughing at me. God. Go away. Go somewhere. Go somewhere where it's warmer.
He hung up on us, right?
Yeah. Well, are you going to blame him?
Yeah, I'm going to blame him. I'm going to blame you guys. I didn't bring any of this up.
You were the one that said if he's going to be graphic, then he might as well be graphic all the way.
I understand that. But because he talks like an idiot is not my fault. Okay?
Well, I mean, you ought to know the guy talks like a jackball. Because he's talking about a toilet and everything.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about that. All I know is that this man's wife, not his wife, his parents, his in-laws, are getting divorced. He thinks they ought to stay together. And I guess they're not. And there was a betrayal there having to do with prostitution. The rest of that stuff, you know.
The rest of it, Phil, I think you have to put on yourself. And I'm shocked and stunned that I haven't heard one phone call yet from David G. Hall. Is that what I spoke too soon?
Yeah.
Yeah, David.
I'm sitting here and I'm listening to this. I got Daphne in the car. We got I thought I had to make your little jokes. We got a fresh box. What'd you get, honey?
I got a bear claw.
We got a box of bear claws. And before you make your jokes, bud, yes, she had a mouthful with donuts. With donuts, okay?
I didn't say anything.
No, but I know as soon as I hang the phone up, you and Leonard, the two of you guys will be going at it. Now, Phil, my question is this. I don't understand the whole exercise here. This guy has got a problem with the school. He's got a problem with the in-laws. He's got a problem with himself. Because now it turns out that this guy was also cheating on his wife, engaged in what he called toilet or toilet sex. What was the point of this hour of radio? Do you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. And it's a good question.
What was the point? You're always telling me you know what the point is. What was the point of that hour?
Well, the point originally...
Oh, originally. Not the point now.
Hold on, will you? The point originally was a, I thought, a very good point. When is a marriage worth saving? When is a marriage worth fighting over? Even after there has been a betrayal, even after there has been infidelity, are there not cases where a marriage is worth holding on to? Now I know there's religious.
I get it. Okay, so that's a good point. How come you didn't stick to it?
Because that all of a sudden out comes this stuff about Mrs. Dorton and C.K. Corona Middle School. I didn't know that stuff was going to be in there. I talked to this guy, and
you've had that nut on before. I've heard him before talking about how he, was in charge of taking the trash out on his street. I mean, this guy is all over the street, man. He's like dog crap. He's like dog crap after someone hits the brakes on it. It's all over the street.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Well, I was just trying.
All right. Thank you very much for your input, Stephen Bozell, and all others that join us this hour in the world-famous Phil Henry Show. It's unbelievable. Ted Bell from Ted to Beverly Hills is next. We'll be talking with Ted, his take on Syria, Putin. He's got a real thing. He's got a problem with Putin. A lot of people do. Let's hear what Ted has to say about Vladimir Putin, Russia, and their newfound strength and stamina against the U.S. in the Syria thing. You're listening to the world-famous, never-to-be-repeated Phil Henry Show. Never to be seen again, Phil Henry. I don't think so. I wouldn't. All right, welcome back to the Phil Henry Show here from the El Pacifico every night. We're on until 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast, and it is a show that is, you know, it's a news and talk and entertainment show. Truth is our bitch. Funny is her sister. Sister is, you know, I ain't going to say nothing about anybody's sister.
No, you aren't saying that.
I misspoke about your sister. I meant to say truth is our bitch, funny is her sister.
Well, it's too late now once you mention someone's sister. Well, it's none of my business.
Okay. In any event, we have Ted Bell with us this hour to talk about Vladimir Putin, or isn't that how you say the French, Margaret?
Well, you'd say yes, Vladimir. Well, I'm not going to say, are you going to make fun of me?
No.
Putin or Vladimir Putin, these are the French pronunciations. See, ladies and gentlemen, if you're new to the program, Mr. Henry loves to mock me.
No, we're not mocking you. We're simply saying that it's an interesting way of you have of speaking. That's all.
Yeah, you guys got to talk about the French way.
Well, the French way doesn't mean a filthy, disgusting sexual act as you think it does, all right?
No, I'm right. Nobody's trying to say that.
Yes, he's trying to say that. If he laughs like that, you know what's going to happen. First, I'll go for the eyes first, all right?
And then. No, hold on, bud. Every time you laugh like that, I want to belch you, so shut up.
Yeah, but she sounds retarded.
He just used the word retarded.
I said I don't want that word used. Don't you understand what's going on these days? Don't you understand what's happening out there? Every day, you know, we're learning as humans. We're learning how to treat each other with a little bit of respect. We're learning where the real laughs are and where the cheap put-downs are. We're not calling anybody retarded anymore. Not even you, bud.
Oh, I like that. Hey, all right.
Yeah, get to make fun of me.
No one's making fun of you. But if you want to engage in that kind of falderal, that kind of flummery, then by God, we will.
What's that mean? Flummery is like when you go to the bathroom.
No, it's not when you go to the bathroom.
Flummery is just a lot of silly talk, okay? Claptrap. Falderal, just asinine behavior, just screwing around, okay? That's not what we're about here. This program is serious, man, as in S-E-R-I-O-U-S. However, if Sirius is listening, those that run the show over there. Anyway, welcome back to our program. We're online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com, where we have the largest repository of any radio show in the history of the human race, and that ain't no lie. I mean, we got more radio, we've got more hours of radio, actual radio shows. We don't have bits, we don't have clips. It's what we do, all right? And we're proud of what we do. And if you think the price of $9.99 a month is way too much for the greatest radio you're ever going to hear in the history of man on this planet, well, okay, then, you know.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
I would. I'd go that far and further. Okay. Lamar Odom. I just wanted to get to this Lamar Odom story because to me it's a real, this is some kind of weird, man.
In what sense?
Well, first of all, one of the things that I don't mind TV shows that purport to show happy marriages. I think that if there is a genuinely happy marriage out there, what bothers me, and I'm not asking that the shows be taken off the air. What I'm asking mostly is of viewers, you know, when you guys watch the Khloe and Lamar show, when you watch whatever show, you know, reality show which supposedly is showing you a loving couple, that's how these people, you know, presented themselves, then I think when they turn around and they engage in a behavior that's anywhere not even close to a perfect couple type of behavior, then you have a right to just start to make serious fun of them. I think if you parade your life on television...
So you want to mock Khloe and Lamar, is that it?
I don't want to mock them so much as I want to pick apart their marriage and find out just exactly if there's anything real to it. Because some of these, especially when we're talking about the Kardashians, I'm not saying that she's doing what her sister, you know, Kim, with that whole thing with the basketball player, you know. What was that guy's name?
I don't know. Nipsey Russell.
What do you mean, Nipsey Russell?
I don't know.
Well, it was the guy from the Nets.
Yeah, I don't know. In any event, she married this cat for about 75 days, turns around, divorces his ass, goodbye. All right. So it was a big whatever. It was a joke. It was some kind of a flim-flam. Maybe she was running a game on the public. I don't know, but nonetheless, the thing sucked, and it's always played up, you know, like it's a big thing. So people ripped into it. Now we got this Lamar and Khloe, and I'm telling you, man, I watched this show because I thought they were kind of a cute couple, and I thought they had kind of a cute little relationship. I don't know.
Well, then you bought into the hype.
Yeah, I did.
So you feel betrayed, and now you want to take it out on them.
No, here's where the prop...
Well, did you or didn't you? You got to answer a question.
Don't tell him what to do.
Shut up, will you, bud?
Did you feel betrayed or didn't you, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, people want to know. Yes, I felt betrayed. What am I, on trial here all of it? Yes, I felt betrayed.
All right, you felt betrayed. Now then...
Will you shut up and let me finish this? Odom may not be in rehab, according to TMZ, which came out Thursday morning with an updated report citing sources close to the ball player. Who knows? He may be off the radar. He may be in rehab. He may be in a rehab where they don't want anybody knowing where he is. I don't blame him. But it's an interesting thing, man. You want your life paraded before God and man, and when all the bad stuff starts coming out, next thing you know, you need a publicist and a whole lot of horse dung to cover up the truth. I mean, the truth is this. The truth is ugly, and the guy's got a drug problem. She's throwing his ass out. Whatever his problem is, that's his problem, you know, and I just think that, you know, that's where the show gets interesting. That's when a reality show becomes reality. That's when a reality show becomes reality. And they don't want to show that reality. They want to show the reality, which is the bullcrap reality.
What are you talking about?
What? Yes, what are you talking about?
Are you kidding? I mean...
No, I'm not. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the fact that on this show, the reality is he's got a drug problem, their marriage sucks, they can't find him, this, that. That's the reality, and we ain't going to see that. We see this phony baloney reality. So understand, folks, when you see a show that is advertising itself as a reality show, you understand that what you're getting is a theatrical show that has been improvised by non-professional actors. Okay, so that means Khloe and Lamar and the rest of them are improvising a fairy tale. And by improvise, I mean it's not a script. They just sit down with the director and he says, you remember this morning when she came out and there was a hole in the ass end of her underwear and you went, wow, let's do that again, you know?
Well, they're not going to do that.
I know they're not going to do that. I'm just saying. They will take a real-life situation and they'll say, let's recreate that again. That was really funny. And maybe this time the dog will run in and take a crap on the bed. You know,
they'd have to have a trained dog for that, wouldn't they?
But, yes, I'm not saying...
Not saying for real, man. Just make an example.
Oh.
For an example. So,
I was going to say, train a dog, come in, take a dump.
Well, that would take a dog wrangler, wouldn't it?
Sure, it would take a dog wrangler. Anything else?
Well, why are you so impatient, Phil?
What difference is it? You guys are not listening to what I'm saying. I'm saying... That this is, the reality show that people are seeing is not so much reality as it is a recreated version of reality that is acceptable to the producers, that will be acceptable to the audience, that will not show anything overly negative or in an, it will not show the family in an overly negative light. You're not going to see, you know, anything that is going to make them look really bad, just bad, acceptably bad. So if they have an argument over something, sure, that's cool, but not if it involves him going into rehab. That's what you're getting with the Chloe and the Lamar show. That's all I'm trying to say.
You ain't talking about dog.
But I was just saying, if a dog runs in and takes a dump on the thing, they're just changing things. I'm not saying they got a dog wrangler.
Yeah, you got a dog wrangler to learn how to take a dump. Yeah.
Okay, great. Why don't you guys start that business? That sounds like a good business for you. Dog wranglers, specializing in teaching them how to take a dump. That'd be fantastic. I'd just love to see that. All right. World-famous Phil Henry Show, back with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills and discussions of Syria and other things here. 855-500-7445. It is the Phil Henry Show. Dog wranglers. We didn't even mean to play that as a bumper, but that was the only one available to us as we were searching high and low for the Ted's of Beverly Hills jingle, which is a paid commercial endorsement, and we finally found it with only seconds to go, and thank you, Phil Hendry.
No, you didn't find it. I did.
No, I did. I did.
I think I saw Bud helping you, though.
Bud's about as much help, as they say, as a G-string in a snowstorm, Jack. You didn't help me with anything, okay? I found it.
Yeah, but I was looking.
Well, you were looking. I found it. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, time for our man, the main man, the man with a master plan, Ted!
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Okay, hey, folks, this is Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills reminding you to come on down. We have, not only do we have the prime rib roasted all day, we have that new porterhouse. It's a brand new kind of porterhouse. I can't get into it. It's a new species of porterhouse.
Are you kidding?
Yes, I'm kidding. Of course I'm kidding. But I thought I said to some people that last Sunday, you know, we had a big party come in from San Marino. There was a wedding of some kind, and I said, you know, you ought to get the porterhouse. I said, it's a whole new species of steer, and you should have seen the grandfather. His eyes lit up, and I said, well, what do you, does that mean something to you? He said, well, yeah. He said, I spent my youth on the on a ranch in Wyoming. And I said, what did you do there? And he said, as little as possible, ha-ha. And we had a great conversation. He was an old cattleman.
Really? Now, there's a lot of those old-timers out here, aren't there?
Well, there are, and you see them. You know where you see them? You see a lot of those old-timers at the racetrack. You see them around in California at the horse racing tracks. You see the guy. Any guy over the age of 50 wearing a cowboy hat is a one of those old-school cattlemen and, you know, one of the old-school cowboys, cowhands, however you want to say it. By the way, Phil, I learned something about what a cowboy is, and a cowboy originated in Ireland. And it was a low-class guy, a guy of lower, you know, a very low-level, I don't want to say a scumbag, but whatever passed for a scumbag in Ireland back in the 18th century.
Well, what do you mean a scumbag? You mean just a guy that didn't have a lot of money?
Well, yeah. I mean, to some people, that's a scumbag, you know. Not to me, but...
Well, are you just talking about guys that were...
But, Phil, I'm telling the story, if you don't mind.
Yeah, Phil, yeah, you're interrupting.
Sorry.
Okay, Phil, you're right. I mean, not a scumbag, but a low-income, poor guy. And these were the guys that wrangled the cows and all of that. Okay. And they called him Boy because, not because, as you said one time, was because the original cowhands were African-American. That's not true. The original cowhands, however, were very low-income people, and they were Irish originally because that's where the term came from. Now they come to the United States, and the cowboys and the renegades, these two groups of people, these are all white guys, became the guys that you told me that they were raiding they were Tories, right?
Yeah, the renegades were Tories. These were people that harassed the rebels, the Americans. People that wanted to break away from Britain were harassed by a group of people called the renegades. And this was in a very specific area. This was in New York State, in an area of New York State that was a no man's land between the area that was mostly loyalist or Tory and an area that was mostly rebel. The Renegades were people that were loyalists. They were in favor of the British crown. They hassled, they robbed, they stuck up, you know, basically anybody that was an American rebel. But what are you telling me about the Cowboys? Were them too?
Yeah, these Cowboys came over from Ireland, and they also were part of these guys, and they hassled all these Americans and everything else, okay? So the Cowboy eventually, after the end of the Revolution, the Cowboy eventually went back to what he did, which was wrangling steer, and he, of course, became not just an Irishman anymore. He became an American. He was black. He was Native American. There were all kinds of different cowboys, but they all came from this kind of lower class of individual until cowboys in the mid part of the 19th century became rather proficient and much needed and maybe more skilled than some of the earlier cowboys.
So that's an Irish term.
Yeah, the term cowboy is an Irish term and originally of the Irish. Now, I didn't mean to say they were scumbags. But now that I find out they were fighting the American, you know, the rebels, yeah, they were scumbags because they were King George's boys. You know. By the way, I said that to, you know Billy Hallowell, don't you?
Yeah, Billy's from England.
Yeah, I know. And so I said to him, hey, boy, you know, and because after I found out about this cowboy thing, I said, Billy, any of your ancestors cowboy, you know, because I accentuated boy. And man, he looked at me like he wanted to stick a salad fork right through my thorax. It was hysterical. And
you know, I don't know how you're one of these guys, Ted. You think it's funny to rile people up. One of these days, somebody's going to take a shot at you.
What do you mean, with a gun?
No. I mean, someone's going to take a punch at you. And anyway, welcome to the program here, Ted. It's great to have you with us. Ted Bell with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills, a restaurant owner and a damn good one. I know Hong Kong Charlie has opened up down the street, and we'll probably hear more about that as time goes on, huh?
Well, it's been unfortunate. This guy, the gentleman I'm talking about, Charlie Du, or Charles Du, is Vietnamese for starters. He's not Chinese. He opens up his Hong Kong Charlie's. Is about the most racist sounding thing I've ever heard in my life.
What do you mean it's racist?
Well, I think it sounds to Hong Kong Charlie. All he needs to do is put a picture of himself with the buck teeth out front, and you got the whole effect is complete. I don't like it. You know, and I'm Ted Bell. And I told him, by the way, Phil, I said, you see that billboard, Charlie? And we were standing out in front of my, you know, the billboard that I've got over the 405, right?
Yeah.
I said, Charlie, see that? And the billboard, for people that don't know, if they haven't been out here, it says, I'm Ted Bell.
Right. It's an advertisement for your restaurant. And what makes it unique is it simply says, I'm Ted Bell. And it has a little red...
yeah, it's got my red Beamer.
A red BMW. And then at the very bottom, I think it's Ted's of Beverly Hills.
Right, because people know. When it says, I'm Ted Bell, they know it's my restaurant. You don't have to tell them it's a restaurant. Okay, I said, Charlie, I took him out front of my restaurant, and I said, you see that? And he said, yeah, what of it? I said, what of it? I said, that's the big boy on the block. And he said to me in that broken English, you wait until I get my Hong Kong Charlie. He said, I'm going to build a roller coaster that goes right through it, and I'm going to have a Ted Bell car. And I said, Charlie, don't do anything that I'm going to sue you over, okay?
No, that's him joking around, obviously.
Well, if he tries to run my name to the mud, if he thinks that my name is something that can be drugged through some Chinese rice paddy...
Let's keep this clear of all the racial stuff. I don't...
What's that racial?
Well, the ethnic stuff, you know what I mean?
Well, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about that old school Chinese thing. I mean, look, people love Chinese food, Ted.
And they like steaks, too, my friend.
Of course they do. I mean, if you want to ask me what my favorite food in the world is, steaks and Chinese food. I mean, if I could, I'd eat it all the time, but I can't. You know, I'm doing this diet thing.
Yeah, you and that diet, boy, you're really giving me a royal pain with that diet. When are you going to come in here and have a big, fat, thick, juicy steak that I can take a picture of you having and I can stick it in an advertisement someplace?
Not anytime soon, man, because, like I said, I'm recommitting myself to losing this weight. Let's get to the Syrian thing, okay?
All right. Well, the reason why, and again, folks, thank you very much for tuning in. I'm Ted Bell. I'm the owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills. And I shouldn't have to say that to you because after what we just got to... Did you lose the commercial? You didn't lose the commercial, did you?
No, we found it.
All right. I'm Ted Bell, and I want to talk about this guy, Vladimir Putin. Now, I saw the headline here is in The Guardian. I was looking online to find out some news about this because I have a particular interest in this. I like Phil. I do remember a time when America had a pair, excuse me for putting it that way, but I do remember a time when America actually had guts, and we are losing that by the pound these days. Now, the headline says, Vladimir Putin warns U.S. Excuse me. Give me another. Put another ice cube in that, will you, Mary? And get everybody out of here. This is my office. This isn't. What are they? What are they? This is not a show they're watching. All right, everybody, back to work, please. I got all of my servers. Everybody here standing around looking at me.
Well, it's exciting. They're hearing you on the radio.
No, I don't even think they understand what I'm doing. I'm on a phone. This is a telephone. Hold on. Get everybody out of here. I'm on a phone. See this telephone? See, they don't even speak English. So what do you mean they know I'm on the air?
Well, they know, don't they know you're doing a radio show?
Maybe, but they're just staring at me. When I finally said this is a telephone, then a few of them turned and left.
Well, they probably got the message. They don't want you, you know, you don't want them staring at you. You don't want them.
Yeah, say that again, please, Daniel Webster.
You don't want.
Never mind.
No, you don't want them staring at you.
Wow.
I know, Ted. I try to tell Phil to slow down, but he won't.
Wow. That's the fifth try. You still couldn't get it.
All right, are we going to talk about Putin?
Yeah, I've been waiting, you know, you're telling me all these stories.
No, you're the guy with Hong Kong Charlie, not me.
What is that, some kind of a fungus? Oh, the guy with the restaurant.
Yes! Hold on for a minute. Get him on the same page, will you please, bud? No, you do it, Robert.
I can talk to him. No, I'm going to do it.
All right, we'll be back here with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills as he continues discussing with us. Well, we're going to talk to him about our Putin. And the stuff that he was saying in the news and out of the news and all the other places in between. Fact is, Putin has made some very strong statements. He said that if the United States decides to hit militarily Syria, that Russia will have a response and it may not be anything that we like. So, you see, there's old Vlad, man, he remembers a time when it was the Kennedy made him blink years and the Iron Curtain fell years. There's a whole lot of bad that he's trying to live down on behalf of his country. So I don't think he's just talking. I think he means it. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills back with us after these words.
Get everybody out of here, okay? I'm on the radio. I'm Ted Bell.
And welcome back to the Phil Henry Show here and philhenryshow.com. We got Ted Bell on the line with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills tonight.
Everybody out of the office.
Ted.
All right.
Of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come
What's
on
that?
Down.
Are we on, Phil?
You're on. Go.
Ted Bell, Ted's of Beverly Hills. Now I forget. Give me the copy. Ted Bell, you. Why don't you give me a heads up?
Sorry, Ted. I'm sorry. It's all entirely my fault.
And I heard music, and everything was bad, and everything was wrong. And I've been a sponsor on your program, Phil.
I apologize, bud. What are you doing?
Bet you wanted to hear Ted Bell.
Yeah, so why were you playing Cream?
I don't know.
I'm going to...
Phil, I'm telling you, I've said this before and I'll say it again. Don't ever let me anywhere near your radio studio because if I see Dickman, I'm sure he has people that love and care about him and they'll never see him again. They'll never see him again.
If that's a threat, Mr. Bell.
That's a promise, okay?
Watch it. I can't have you guys talking that way to each other.
No. I'm talking that way to him. He's not talking that way to me.
That's a threat and it's against the law.
Oh, take it easy. I'm kidding around. What a boy. Somebody better... You know what you ought to do is take a degausser to that plate in his head.
Well, what are you laughing? I don't find that funny at all.
Is Henry laughing?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, well, I tell you, if the shoe fits.
All right, so anyway, Ted Bell is with us. Ted, tell us about Vladimir Putin and what your problem is.
What my problem is?
I mean...
Hey, let me tell you, you know, Phil, I appreciate the fact that I make you laugh. This is very serious. Our country is about to lose face in the international community, and this isn't because of Obama. This, don't worry. This is not about Obama. This is about a whole lot of lily-livered Republicans and conservatives that, because they don't like Obama, they want us to go outside with a big yellow stripe down our back. Can you believe that? The party of Barry Goldwater, the party of Ronald Reagan, the party of Ronald Reagan. The party of Ronald Reagan wants us to walk out into the world with a big, wide, yellow stripe right down our backs. And I'm here to tell you that I don't want to see it happen. I am here to tell you, this voter, this is one man's opinion. I'm Ted Bell.
All right, Ted, it's a very valid view, and one that I'm sure is shared by a lot of people. And even to the extent that you say there is a political, an ideologic bias to all of this, really, what is it that Putin has up his sleeve? What does he think he's going to be able to do if America decides to hit Syria?
I think there's going to be a military eyeball-to-eyeball situation. I think they've already got ships in the eastern Mediterranean. They've got a battleship. They've got another frigate, I think. And if I'm not mistaken, there might even be an aircraft carrier. I don't know. So what Putin is basically saying is this. I am going to have a military presence in the eastern Mediterranean. That isn't pulling his ambassador back. That's not walking out of a UN Security Council meeting. That isn't asking the ambassador from the United States to come see him. That is the deploying of military forces. Now, Obama has to have a response to that. The American people, to the extent that they are being heard these days, want Obama to walk out there with a big, bright yellow stripe down his back and say, you're right, Vlad. You know, my bad. Go ahead, do what you need to do. Keep gassing people, whatever.
Well, Putin is saying that it's absurd. He's saying that it is absurd that there is any gassing of anybody going on, considering what the international repercussions would be, considering the fact that Russia itself would be in favor of international an international response if this were the case. But he thinks it's absurd.
Didn't Obama say that he's got proof?
I believe that President Obama said there is proof. I think that that is the case. But then again, if anybody really wants to have a laugh, they can all point back to the days leading up to the Iraq War and say that the CIA provided proof there, too.
Well, look, you know, the CIA is not God Almighty. The CIA is the CIA. They got information. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. The guy that makes the decision is the president. See, a lot of people think that it's the CIA's decision. No, it isn't. It's the president's decision. If the CIA said, no, sir, we don't find any weapons, and the guy says, well, I'm going in anyway, that's his decision. Maybe he thinks the intelligence is rotten. Here's a case. Putin, he thinks the intelligence is bad because he doesn't believe it. He doesn't believe that these weapons are there. I'm Ted Bell.
Ted, you can't just say, I'm Ted Bell, and that's mine.
Margaret's the one who gets to say, I'm Margaret Gray, and then nobody gets to have an opinion. All right, let's take a phone call. I mean, that's just, I don't even know who wrote these rules, but in any event, let's take a phone call here. Charlie, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Good to talk to you. Charlie, how you doing?
Phil, I'm doing very well. I want to talk to Mr. Bell. Is that right?
Yeah, Ted Bell here. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Forgive me if I didn't get the memo or that I wasn't reading your billboard properly. I understand your billboard says, I'm Ted Bell. But I don't know who you are. I don't care what your opinion is. I'm trying to determine, and I've been sitting here for the last 20 minutes with my wife sitting in the car with me, and I have been slack-jawed as we are driving along, listening to you. I haven't been able to really muster enough of a brain matter to say what I think because I'm stunned.
You haven't been able to muster brain matter for what?
I can't. Who are you, and why are you here talking to me about Vladimir Putin?
I'm Ted Bell, sir.
No, I know you're Ted. I know you've said you're Ted Bell. But I don't know why I should care what you, a guy that sells baked potatoes, let's be honest, isn't that what you do?
Let me clue you in on something here, Pops. First of all,
and please don't call me Pops, all right?
Well, you're the guy, you're saying to me that I don't matter, so I called you Pops, all right? Even Steven?
Even Steven, what is this guy?
All right, let's let Mr. Bell respond, okay, Charlie?
Fine, go ahead.
First of all, I don't know why you didn't get the memo, because this is my segment of the program to express the things that I want to express, and I happen to think a certain way about this guy Putin, who I, for 5 cents, I'd put a dent in this guy's face that he would never believe, that he'd look in the mirror and he'd go, an American did that to me, and then he'd drop to the floor.
You're going to put a dent in Putin's head, huh?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Well, I'd love to see you try that. Vladimir Putin lifts weights. The guy's ripped. He's built.
Oh, get out of here. He's ripped and built. Putin, you know what Putin is? He looks like one of these Rusky blockheads. He's got that block, that flat head that they got with the big wide forehead. I'll tell you, you can say Russian or you can say Down syndrome.
Okay, let's not go there, all right? That is about as childish and about as insulting a thing as I've ever heard.
Mr. Henry, I was driving along slack-jawed.
Why are you driving along slack? Why would you admit to driving along slack-jawed, sir?
What is that? What do you mean by that?
Well, that means you're driving along with your mouth just, right?
I'm not making any noises, if that's what you're asking.
No, but you're driving along with your mouth gaping wide open. Now, you're going to give some people ideas.
You see what I mean, Mr. Henry? This guy has nothing but a garbage pit for a brain. He has a garbage can for a head, and inside that can is something that someone squatted over.
Well, you know what? You may not agree with what I've got to say, but you have to say one thing, okay? You got to say what? It's Charlie, right?
Yeah.
You got to say one thing, Charlie. You know what it is?
I give up.
I tell you this, Charlie. It's not I. It's I'm Ted Bell.
Mr. Henry, I was a long-time listener of your program, and I can assure you that I never again... You know what? Let's get out of here. I'm slack-jawed, dear. Let's eat over here at the... they have the olive loaf over here. All right, is that guy gone?
Yes, he's gone. And that was about as dumb a conversation as I've ever heard.
Well, listen, I didn't answer the phone, and I didn't put the guy on the air. You know, that's the thing I don't understand about you, Phil. You blame me for the idiots that call your show.
I'm not blaming you for that. I'm simply saying to you that the response that you might have had for that man, it might have been a bit clearer, because he was asking, why should he listen to you?
All right, well, you tell me. You put me on your show. Why should anyone listen to me?
Because you're a businessman, a noted businessman. You have opinions not only about business, you have opinions about the world around us. And I think that the business community is a good community to sound on issues beyond business. It's a good community to sound on these issues. Because you guys represent a pretty significant tax-paying base, because you guys represent a significant portion of the employers. Obviously, you guys are all of the employers outside of the government.
Yeah, outside of the government is right. And that makes us, what, 2%? The government is employing everybody these days, Phil. Let's be honest about it, okay? And I think if we're going to go anywhere and do anything and be anything, we have got to speak on behalf of this government. And I'm telling you, when we send an American president out in front of the world to say, you know, that he doesn't have the guts to confront Putin.
We are not sending him to say, look at, Obama's in Russia right now saying that we should attack Syria. He's not shying away from anything.
No, I know that, but the fact is Putin is saying, hey, you know, and he called Kerry a liar. Did you hear that one? And there's a lot of Americans that are such traitors. They think it's great that Kerry's been called a liar by a Russian. Think about that. Kerry was called a liar. I don't care if you don't like Kerry, you do like Kerry, but you know who called him a liar? A Rusky. A guy that at one time was going to war under the hammer and sickle. The godless Russian. And I'm telling you, Phil, it doesn't get much lower than that. And Americans have sunk pretty low over the last 200 years, and there have been succeeding generations that have had to pick up the slack for some real slobs that called themselves citizens of this country. But this generation, allowing a lousy Russian to...
All right, would you give that a rest?
What?
Russian.
All right, fine.
Well, Ted...
No, go ahead. Go to your little commercial, whatever you're going to do. You know, I'm not going to waste my time. If you don't understand the significance of some Rusky telling our president, here's how it's going to...
It's the same thing as calling him boy.
Oh, stop it.
What did he say?
He's bringing in the racial end.
Did he say that Putin called Obama boy?
He's saying it's the same thing.
Now, that might get some people fired up.
I don't know. I'm not willing to bet anything. I don't know. I don't know. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Now you can play that song you wanted to play, Bud. Thank you. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, our final segment on what to do about Syria, Putin, and the whole damn thing.
That's what he said.
Welcome back, Phil Henry Show. And I told you, if you've got your friends...
That Golan's a caller.
All right, we got R.C. Collins on the line with us, but we also have with us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, Ted Bell, as Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills is holding forth on Putin.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
All right, everybody, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. I tell you, we have got the greatest steaks, we've got the greatest hors d'oeuvres, we've got the greatest drinks, we got the greatest... We're the best restaurant in the history of man, as Phil likes to say, on this planet. There, how's that for a pitch?
I like it. I like it a lot. Ted Bell with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills and taking phone calls. I think the Russian thing is what gets people, you know. We've had a few calls from people asking, can he tone down what sounds like the ethnic bashing?
Well, I'm not ethnic bashing so much as I am bringing to the fore the symbol of what for many years for Americans has been the antithesis of everything we stand for, which is godlessness, which is a godless uniformity of motion and thought, almost like ants on an anthill. That's what the Russian and Chinese axis has represented to Americans. The antithesis of individualism, the antithesis of God-fearing individualism, Americanism, individual effort, and creation, not this monolith of ants. You know, I've said it many times, Phil. My business as Ted, I'm Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills. I'm like a volcano, and I'm surrounded by ants. And,
you know, you and Dr. Ron Turner and about five or six other guests have used that metaphor.
Oh, is that right? Well, maybe it's because we all saw the same movie, Raisin in the Sun, where they used a lot. And I happen to think it's very applicable when it comes to me. I'm a volcano surrounded by ants. In my business, at home, I don't even want to get into my marriage. I am a man, I love my wife, and I love my son, but I'm the volcano, they're the ants. Two ants.
Yeah?
Henry, if you're laughing at me...
Look at pal, you're the guy that said...
Yeah, I just heard him laugh, is that right, Margaret?
He is, he's sitting here trying to stifle it.
I heard you say you're the guy that... What I'm telling you is this, and this is truth, and this is the emis, my brother, this is the emis. I'm Ted Bell, just like a million other restaurateurs, a million other business people in this country. I'm a guy that is trying to make it happen for America. I employ. I pay taxes. I believe an individual, as Robert De Niro said in the great film The Untouchables, individual initiative before he took the baseball bat to that guy's skull and turned it into just, oh, God. Well, you know what he did, right? Right, Phil?
Yeah, I understand. What's that got to do with anything?
It has to do with America. Oh, never mind.
All right, let's go to a... You know, I'm choking up over here. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. R.C. Collins on the line from Bradley Military Academy. R.C., go ahead.
I'm just saying to Mr. Bell that I'm very much like a great admirer of your story, and I've been following your career a long time.
Thank you, but thanks very much, R.C., and I appreciated you guys coming to the restaurant the other night.
I want to let Mr. Henry know that we went into the tent of Beverly Hills, and
it's called Ted's of Beverly Hills, not the Ted.
I'm sorry. We went into the tent of Beverly Hills.
Ted's.
Yes, sir. Ted's of Beverly Hills, and we had the steak, and we had an onion. I mean, it was a, what do you call that? An onion loaf?
Yeah, the onion loaf.
And I had asparagus.
Asparagus.
I had asparagus. And I had the cheese dribblings.
Well, it's called a fondue. It's not, but that's close enough. What'd you think of it?
I thought it was delicious, Mr. Bell. Oh, yeah, and I wanted to tell everybody that I had the steer. That I had steer. Or not steer, but...
He had the porterhouse, Phil, the new species of porterhouse.
Yeah, you called it the Kansas St. Louis City species, right?
Well, it's a Missouri-Kansas... Yeah, we were kidding around. It's a Missouri-Kansas steer. It's a delicious cut of meat. And the kids had it. We had about five guys from Bradley Military Academy. We're very, very happy to host you guys and your dates. Very beautiful young ladies.
Yeah, it was the Commandant's Ball. That's the pre-ball before they have the ball.
You know, I never did understand what pre-ball means.
Well, I mean, three guesses. The first two don't count, you know.
Okay.
Don't be a wiseacre, okay? excuse me, guys. I have a little bit of an allergy. R.C., what was the topic that you wanted to address here?
Well, yes, sir. I want to talk to Mr. Bell. I agree with what you're saying about America, and I agree with what you're saying that we ought to stand up like we should stand up. I wanted to at this time, Mr. Bell, let you know, though, and the reason why I led off with, I'm saying this even though I did go home and after we had dinner and I did have, and I'm not saying this for any bad reason, but I wanted to show you that I support you in your opinion about America, even though I did have a very painful loose bowel movement.
What is he telling me?
Well, because of the steak that I ate, I had a painful loose bowel movement.
All right, and
boy, I tell you, you know, that's that, I think that's just stabbing me right in the back. I mean, that's not only stabbing me in the back.
No, sir, no, it isn't.
Yeah, it is. You come to my restaurant, you take my hospitality.
Well, sir, you didn't give us nothing for free.
Well, of course I didn't. I didn't know you. I don't do that attention. And then you not only stabbed me in the back, that's almost as if you nailed me to the wall. It's as if you nailed my testicles.
All right, let's stop right here, okay? What was the point of your call, young Mr. Collins?
Well, Mr. Henry, I was agreeing with Mr. Bell.
You were agreeing with me as an entree to defaming and slandering my business.
And, sir, how did I do that other than to tell the truth?
You call up, and I agree with you even though I had a painful bowel movement. After eating my steak, isn't that what you said?
Yes, sir, I did, but I feel it's important to be honest, because that's what we represent.
Oh, yeah, sure, you represent all that. Yeah, you know, let me tell you something. You should have seen the dates they came in with, Phil. These five guys come in with women all at least 10 years older than them. At least 10 years older. They walk in, throwing money around like it's water, ordering my servers around. We go outside, I catch one of them lighting up a joint.
That was, no, sir, that was not. That's slanderment.
Slanderment? Well, are you going to say something, Henry?
Yeah, I'm listening to this. I'm stunned. RC, did you guys brought in dates to Ted's?
Yeah, we brought dates. What, is that against the law all of a sudden?
No, not against the law. I'm just telling you. You guys walked in with these four broads. Well, excuse me, I shouldn't say broad.
Broads? Those are ladies.
Boy, listen to the voice crack on this kid.
All right, just, we're coming to the end of the hour. What do you want me to do?
Well, I talked to Ted. Get rid of the kid and talk to Ted about this.
Get Ted up on the line here for me. Ted, my question, it's a very simple question. What are you saying?
I'm telling you that those four kids came in with four women that were at least 10 years older than them, and they start ordering my servers around, waving $20 bills. This RC kid, him and another kid, some Watson, some big ape of a kid. You've never seen it. This kid was huge. I mean, he was huge. And they're standing outside, and if I don't know the smell of marijuana, then you can call me a gone mother.
All right, we'll have to deal with that on a future show. Ted, thank you very much. I'm shocked. We'll get to the bottom of that. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Thank you very much for joining us, Ted. I do appreciate that. And we'll be back next hour, you guys. We'll be back with more news and views, man, including Steve Bozell and his in-laws and their marriage problem. Wait till you hear this one, The Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to the Phil Henry Show. It's Thursday night, which means tomorrow night, or it might be tonight. We're entering the Eastern time zone right now as we speak. Tonight, Friday night, and then the weekend. And
what have you got planned?
What do I have planned? I don't know what I have. I'll tell you what I got planned. I got planned the as little as possible of motion and movement. I had a birthday weekend that just took it out of me, man. I don't know. I maybe it was just, I don't think I drank that much more tequila. But for whatever reason, I just did not have the energy here early on in the week, even though we had a three-day weekend. So I'll try and maybe I'll just drink beer. I don't know what it was.
But you do different that you would not ordinarily have done.
Well, I mean, I had, what? What did you say?
No, what did you say? I'll speak English, man.
I said, what'd you do different than what you ordinarily would not have had done?
What did I do differently?
That you wouldn't ordinarily not have had done.
Jeez. Well,
I drank some beer called, it was a red beer, it was a Denmark red, and it was good, but I'm not ordinarily a beer drinker. I am starting to sound like the late David Brinkley, aren't I? Well, no, what I'm saying...
I noticed that, yes.
No, I had some beer, and then I sat and I listened to a guy. I was at a hotel north of the city. It was great. And I listened to some cat who was like a Sinatra. He was a lounge singer guy, you know, only a very calculated lounge singer. And by that, I mean he was singing in this New Jersey sort of drawl, and it was all Sinatra stuff, and okay, he had black hair.
So you're saying, basically, without using the words that the late John Marley used in The Godfather, olive oil charm.
No, I didn't say that.
Well, you saw Dimas and he had dark hair.
He was Italian, okay. But so?
Well, you're talking about when John Marley said, and I'm only quoting him, with all of his Guinea charm. What are you... Let the record show Phil Henry's laughing. I'm not.
No. God! Can't I say anything here without turning it into a...
God, Jerry, that's racism.
Oh, stop, will you? She's quoting the movie. John Marley, who played the... Isn't that the actor's name?
Yes, it's the actor's name. A wonderful actor. Frank knew him very well. A great actor.
Yeah, John Marley, he played the producer, Mr. Waltz. That's it. Mr. Waltz. And Mr. Waltz had a real problem with Johnny Fontaine, you know, the singer, as played by the late, great Al Martino, who, you may not know this, I know it because I'm a part of the Al Martino fan club. Al Martino is a veteran of the United States Navy and saw action in the South Pacific. In fact, Al Martino, the singer, you may not know this, the guy who sang, you know, Blue Spanish Eyes and all that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely wonderful singer. A handsome man as well.
Yeah. He was shot right through the hand on Mount Suribachi.
Where's that?
Iwo Jima. Ever heard of it?
Well, yeah, that's World War II.
Yes. That's where they put the flag up, man. Don't you ever seen the flag?
Oh, yeah, the soldiers?
Well, not just soldiers, Marines. They're pushing the flag up, and they're saying, you know, we took over. So Al Martino, the singer, before he was a famous singer, was a Navy signalman and was wounded there on Mount Suribachi. And I got, why was I saying that? Oh, yeah, Johnny Fontaine, the singer, Mr. Waltz. And, oh, yeah, that's what I did this past weekend.
Only you, Phil, can bring it to Mount Suribachi when you meant to talk about how much you got drunk this past weekend.
Right, you're right. That's got to be either a skill or something that's terribly wrong with me. Joining me this hour is Stephen Bozell. We spoke briefly about this at the beginning of the show. Mr. Bozell is a father. He is also a construction contractor. He's a husband and a man who is concerned with the schooling that his daughter is getting at C.K. Corona Middle School in Corona, California. But what I'd like to do this hour, Mr. Bozell, is I want to talk specifically about the issue between your wife and you with regards to her parents, your in-laws. All right?
Yes, sir.
All right, tell me exactly what happened, and this was over this past weekend, correct?
Yes, sir. I was speaking with my wife. She had informed me that her parents, I know both of them, Steve and Charlene Goodwin, they are my father and mother-in-law, that they were separating and that they were considering getting a divorce after 43 years. This struck me as very unfortunate. I felt bad, and I felt bad about it, and I told my wife that after 43 years, it was ridiculous for them to get a divorce, and she told me the reasons. I should say that I told her I thought it was ridiculous for them to get a divorce after she told me what the reasons was.
And what were those reasons?
I told you earlier, Ms. Henry, and I, you know, that I didn't want to talk about it.
No, I know that, but we're not going to really make much headway on the topic.
I know that. The reason was that my father-in-law was seeing or was taking advantage of the services of a madam. He was seeing women, escorts, and so forth for sex.
So he was out cheating on your mother-in-law with prostitutes.
Yes, sir. Although I think today it's more acceptable to say it's an escort service.
and you know, Anthony Weiner and a great many others.
Well, Anthony Weiner, you're thinking of Elliot Spitzer, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry, Elliot Spitzer, yeah. Anthony Weiner, though, did an escort service, didn't he?
No, sir, he did not. He was mailing out pictures of himself, his private parts, if you will, to women who had not necessarily been, you know, asking for those pictures.
But I'm saying, wasn't he mailing them out to female escorts?
No, he was mailing them out to just women he was talking to on Twitter.
Okay, I thought...
You're thinking of Elliot Spitzer.
You're thinking of Elliot Spitzer, who was the Attorney General for the state of New York. I don't know what the hell. Was he the governor? What the hell was Elliot Spitzer's job, anyway?
He was the governor.
No, he wasn't. He was the Attorney General, I think. In any event, Elliot Spitzer was caught, and yes, so and lost his, you know, a step down from his job. So you feel that their marriage is salvageable. Why?
Because I think that after 43 years, Mr. Henry, 43 years of a marriage, when a man is loyal and faithful for 43 years of a marriage, and now, and only now, does she find out about him having the sexual, having the sexual escapades.
Escapades?
Escapades, yeah, that he had. I think it's throwing away the baby when all you want to do is throw out the bathwater. So you see what I'm saying? Throw away a baby when, you know, you throw away a baby when you want to throw away a bathwater.
Mr. Bozell, this is Margaret Gray.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for joining us. Throwing away the baby with the bathwater, when a man so violates his vows of matrimony with a woman that he has sex with multiple partners, and also with a man. Did you not say that he had cheated on your mother-in-law with a man?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Is your father-in-law gay?
No, he's not gay. Not at all. I asked him about it, and he said that he was taking a shot, that he was sampling the... You know, he was just saying he's not gay. And I asked him, I said, how, you know, why? And he said he'd been he'd retired recently. He'd been wanting to try something. He'd been wanting to try it out and went ahead and took it, you know, tried it out.
And but why was he cheating with all these women?
Well, same reason. I mean, he just wanted to try it out. He said he wanted to do it and check it out, and he didn't know he'd get caught.
And how was he caught, by the way?
I believe she found... I think that she found underwear and women's underwear and a number of incriminating things, women's underwear and other people's clothes and a purse and I think some earrings, something like that.
So this sounds like a man that wants to get caught.
It sounds like, yeah, it sounds like he wanted to get caught, Steve, because he was all this stuff that was found with him. We're going to get back to Steve Bozell and whether or not it is worth giving up on a marriage just because there has been infidelity. And I mean, let's face it, cheating with a number of prostitutes, that isn't just infidelity, man. That's a very, very serious rift, I think, in a marriage. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Stephen Bozell with us. I'm Phil Henry. We'll be back with more on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to the Phil Henry Show, and Mr. Stephen Bozell, along with Margaret Gray, myself, Bud Dicklin, and Robert Leonard, as we discuss with Mr. Bozell the problem we were talking with him about at the beginning of the show, and that was the fact that his mother and father-in-law are getting divorced after 43 years.
And, Steve, this is Margaret. 43 years is a very long time. I understand that. But even after 43 years, don't you think there are some things that a woman should just not have to put up with?
Well, I agree with you, ma'am. I spoke to my father-in-law. I said, you had sex with these women, and he said I wanted to give it a shot.
What does that mean, he wanted to give it a shot? I still don't think you've explained that.
Yeah, well, when he says he wants to give it a shot, was he saying he was being squeaky clean right up to that point?
He told me that all the years of their marriage, all the way, until finally he couldn't stand it any longer, and he wanted to go ahead and take, you know, go ahead and give it his, you know, go ahead and put it in there and see what comes out, you know.
is the way he put it. You have to understand, my father-in-law is a very colloquial man. He's Knoxville, Tennessee. He lived there his whole life. I'm not saying he's a hillbilly or anything, but I said, you know, you've been faithful to this woman and everything, and why would you do that? And he said, I want to, you know, run it up the flagpole, see if it flapped around. And so I got to respect that. I got to basic respect to a man that'll say, you know, I've been faithful and faithful and faithful until I can't stand it any longer, until my eyes are watering from it. And why can't I go ahead and go out and see, you know, if I put, you know, just put it out there and see if it comes back with scabs on it, you know? And
you know, I don't like the way that you put things.
You're using some rather crude terms.
Forgive me. It's a southern term.
Put it out there till it comes back with scabs on it.
Well, I mean, all I was saying is that's what my father-in-law was saying.
All right, now how do you justify a guy like that who talks that way? How do you justify him before his wife and say, hey, you know, this is a marriage that's worth saving?
Well, I mean, I was talking to my wife, April, his daughter.
Because the two of you were having an argument, huh?
We were having a little bit of a disagreement. She was saying my parents are getting divorced, and that's all there is to it. And I said, what happened? She said my father went out and tried to bag some, you know, some scab. She said, now it wasn't me. My wife said that her father tried to go bag some skank and all this. And
you know, the way you people talk in your home.
Well, you people. Well, that sounds almost hillbillyism.
What do you mean hillbillyism?
I'm not being bigot if that's what you're saying. I just think that there needs to be an elevation of the discourse in your home.
Oh, ma'am, I'm only telling you that, you know, we raise our children the best way we know how.
I'm not saying you're a bad parent. I'm just saying the way you communicate, and this could very well be the problem.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, what do I mean by that? What I mean is if his wife is saying that her father went out and nailed some skank or whatever he said, and Steve is saying that put it out there and see if it comes back with scabs on it. This doesn't speak well for the entire family.
All right, ma'am. You know, I appreciate that. But we are what we are, you know.
Well, I think the question is there respect in this family? It sounds like there is.
Yes, there is, very much so.
And it sounds like that there's love, but it certainly doesn't sound like, in the case of your father-in-law, that he doesn't value his marriage anymore.
Well, you know, I tried to talk to my mother-in-law about it. I talked to Charlene. I said, now, Charlene, you know, just ease down a little bit here, girl, and tell me what happened. She said that Steve come out here 2 weeks ago, Friday night, went out catting around, come back with a whole case of it. I had to launder it. I had to take it out and burn it in the backyard. And
What does that mean? She had to burn his clothes?
No. Those are just colloquialisms.
Could you see? Yeah, that's what I thought. So that doesn't really mean she was burning clothes.
No, in the South, when you say you had to take it out and burn it, that means that he come home smelling of it, you know, and that means that...
Does it mean that he was cheating on her?
Yes. Yes, it does, sir.
All right, let's use those terms, okay?
What are you talking about smelling on it?
Listen, man, you know, I got my hands full talking to the host and lady without talking to some guy that put his head in it, you know, and I don't want to know what you put your head in, but...
Put it into a tree.
Yeah, okay, whatever you say.
He did.
Okay. I mean, I don't want to talk to the guy. You say he put his head through a tree? Okay, fine. My information is different.
Well, wow, what's that mean?
What do you mean your information's different?
I got information this guy stuck his head in something, but it wasn't a tree.
Oh, what? You trying to say it's about sex?
Maybe.
All right, let's knock off all of this bull crap and get back to what it... Good Lord, where are you getting your information?
Well, there's a kid. Don't you know that Collins kid who was just talking on the radio?
Yeah. He's a liar if he said anything.
Okay, I don't want to talk about any of this. So getting back to your problem with your wife, you believe that this is a marriage worth saving?
I absolutely do. Any marriage that's lasted 43 years, Mr. Henry, any marriage that has had two people in it that have had and shown commitment of 43 years of raising up a daughter, two daughters, in the case of April and her younger sister, this man is a retired worker, a mill worker, raised these two children and his wife, and they bought a beautiful piece of property. I've seen their property now. They got 27 acres on a gorgeous lake outside of Knoxville, Tennessee. They have a beautiful home, and
and everything like that. And they're both retired. And they've loved each other very dearly and deeply, although the many years. And I've respected them, and I've been a guest in the home. I was a guest there when April and I split up. And we had a very rough patch, and I was a guest at their home. And I slept in the barn because of the situation whereby April didn't know I'd gone there. So they made me stay out there.
Well, I don't understand. Why?
Because April didn't know I was there.
You went out to your in-laws after you and April split up?
Yes, sir.
And you slept in the barn?
Yes, sir, because they didn't want her to know that I was there.
Okay, all right.
And you think that's generous?
Yeah, better than my own parents treated me. When I went to my own parents' house looking for a place to stay, my father, I got dirt clods thrown at me. I was trying to pull into the driveway, and my old man opened up with a hose.
What is that? You know, you got a very interesting family here, Mr. Wozell. You tried to stay at your own home, your own parents.
Yeah, my father turned a garden hose on me as soon as I got out of the car, and then my mother started throwing dirt clods. You know.
Why?
They're nuts. They're crazy. I mean, they think I stole money, and I did not. It was money that was mine that they had opened up an account for me, and I went ahead and took it out of their account because they had spent all my money.
Okay, that's okay.
Yeah, see, this is where it all starts.
No. My parents are... What do you mean this is where it all starts?
So there was a money hassle with you and your parents, and I guess they don't want to see you anymore.
Well, it sounds to me like they've gone completely insane. My father opens up a garden. He opens up on me with a garden hose with the attachment. Yeah.
All right, well, for me to sort out your life, and I'm starting to lose my temper, for me to sort your life out, Mr. Bozell, is going to take another half hour, and I don't want to do this. All we're talking about is your in-laws right now. And we're talking about this infidelity on the part of your father-in-law. He was sleeping with prostitutes, one of whom was a man. Your mother-in-law found out. She wants to file for divorce. And you haven't said anything on this show, to my way of thinking, that mitigates that at all, even though you think they shouldn't get a divorce.
No, sir. I don't think they should get... I told you, 43 years of marriage?
You, not even with 43 years of marriage, have you said anything to me that makes me think that divorce isn't the best route? You're talking about this man, the way your family talks, pull it out there, put it out there and see if it comes back with scabs, let it fly it in the breeze and see if it flaps around, you know.
Okay, so you think he's talking about a penis.
I was talking about the flag flap, not a penis.
Okay, but just the way you people put things, all right? And the level of intelligence here is not the highest, so it's hard for me to come back with any opinion other than support for your mother-in-law. Now you're telling me about your own parents, the fact that you and April split. How's your marriage with your wife, if you don't mind me asking?
My marriage with my wife was great until this, and I was telling my wife my opinion, and
Slow down.
That's when my daughter went back to CK Corona and told Erica Dorton, who's the mouth breather, you heard her, and she called up the house and breathed into the phone again.
What kind of a principal do you have at a school there that calls up the parents of the students to intimidate them by breathing into the phone? What is that?
My understanding is she's been doing that for, it's time-tested. She was Teacher of the Year 5 years running in the, I think, 1970 through 1972.
5 years running?
Yes, ma'am.
1970 to 1972, that's 3 years.
Three years, I guess. You said 5 years.
Okay, what were the years?
I told you, 1970, 1972.
All right, hold on. We got a guy here that either he's nuts, he's as goofy as any of the people he's talking about. I'll tell you what he ought to do. Before he starts telling people how to run their marriages, what he ought to do is get himself a CAT scan, you know? Get himself a...
What's that?
I mean, he needs his electroencephalogram. He needs to have his brain waves read. That's how goofy he is. Phil Henry Show here. Our number is 855-507-445. Back with more from Mr. Stephen Bozell and the story of his in-laws getting a divorce after 43 years, even though his father-in-law slept with prostitutes, one of whom was a man, and came back with some kind of a disease. I don't know. The Phil Henry Show. Henry Show here at the El Pacifico each and every night. News Talk and Entertainment Radio that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. Funny is her sister.
Yeah, your sister.
I didn't say anything about your sister. We're on the line here with Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, as he continues talking with us about the very unfortunate, well, I think it's very unfortunate, the unfortunate divorce of his in-laws, a father-in-law and a mother-in-law that have been married for some 43 years. It's a long time, Mr. Bozell. I understand what you're saying. God knows there aren't enough couples today that remain married that long.
Who are the people that you know that have been married the longest?
My friends Don and Pam have been married 30 plus years now. I mean, I was the best man. 30 plus years.
You ought to be the best man in a lot of.
What are you stuttering, man?
Shut up, bud. Okay.
Sorry, I'm just very nervous, sir.
You're doing fine.
Yeah.
Don't say anything.
I was just going to say, maybe you should be the best man at the weddings. Maybe that's good luck, Mr. Henry.
Thank you very much, Mr. Bozell. I don't think it is, but that's a very nice thought. It's nice to know, you know, 30 years. I've known a few, but it's not just about loving somebody, I don't think. I mean, not that I've been married any great length. I was married 9 years. And I'll tell you, it's more than love. It takes a lot more than love, my man. So if you think it's all about, well, I love her, Charlie, if you think that's all it takes, man, you're in big, deep, dark, serious trouble. Steve, getting back to your father-in-law, here's a guy that cheated on your mother-in-law with prostitutes.
Well, you know, I want to get back to the point you made, Mr. Henry. He was very much in love with my mother-in-law, and I, you know, to me, they're the ideal, because as I said, my own parents, last time I went to the house, my father turned a garden hose on me, and my mother sprayed, Raid and everything.
Your mother sprayed Raid on? What the hell did you do?
I didn't do anything.
Well, no, wait a second. We're talking about the money.
Oh, that's right.
No, you got that wrong.
Well, there's a amount of money that you said is exchanging hands there, and it doesn't sound like you guys are going to agree on just how that money exchanged hands. But the fact is that you have as your ideal your in-laws.
Yes, my in-laws always were the people that, to me, and my mother-in-law walked in on Steve, who's my father-in-law, and he was engaged in sex acts with these women. And the man who was in question, who was, I don't believe he was engaged in a sex act with him at that time, but he was in the room. Apparently he was encouraging or doing some kind of bizarre cheerleading or something.
And your mother-in-law saw all of this?
She did, yes. She walked in on him. It was a Saturday afternoon. She was supposed to be out. Said she was going grocery shopping, and he said he wanted to watch a football game.
Wait a minute. Hold on. He wanted to watch a football game.
Well, Phil, there's no reason to pick through the filth.
No, I just got to know. How was this done? He said that he wanted to watch a football game.
Yeah, that's what he told her. So he figured that she'd think he was watching a football game, so she'd take her time. He got on the phone. He rounded up these prostitutes and said to bring Red, and that was code for the guy.
So wait. This guy, this father-in-law that you admire so much, while the wife is off grocery shopping and he tells her he's watching a football game, he rounded up all the prostitutes.
What's so funny, Phil?
Well, no, I'm laughing at the stupidity of this guy.
Mr. Henry, that's my father-in-law you're talking about. I respect that man.
Well, you know what? I would hasten to warn you, admonish you, this guy is not to be respected.
Why do you say that?
Think about it, man.
Talk about that. The guy's calling up prostitutes.
I told you all about that. I told you that he admitted to it.
Well, he admitted to it. She walked in on it. First of all, the guy's got the brains of a squirrel. If he thinks that he's going to round up all these prostitutes and Red, that's code for the guy, huh?
Yes, sir. That was code for Mr. Henry, if he's paying for it.
Well, if he's paying for it, that's one thing. But don't you think that buyer beware, meaning you should know how to use the product?
I believe he was used to the product pretty damn right, because when Charlene walked in, there was a daisy chain going. She said that there was a daisy chain.
All right, we don't need to know the specifics of this thing.
Well, I mean, Ms. Gray, you said he didn't know how to use the product.
I didn't mean literally. I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Well, when she walked in, and she wrote down in the journal for the attorney, daisy chain, I can't say it. Can I say 6'9"?
Okay, I got the idea that this guy was pretty heavily engaged.
Yes, sir, and the mail that I thought the mail was there, and the mail was, yeah, he was chanting
some kind of a sex chant, and he had a tambourine or something.
Well, this is getting so unseemly.
Sam, you know, I'm just telling you that he was upfront and honest about it.
No, he was not upfront and honest about it. No, he wasn't.
How do you figure?
You know what, Mr. Bozell? I don't think even after listening to you for the last 40 minutes or so that even you can be this stupid. Why are you saying...
There's no reason to call me stupid.
Why are you saying that this guy was upfront when she goes out to the grocery store, he says, I'm going to watch a ball game.
He lied about that.
Oh, well, lied. He brings in... How many women were in there?
In the bedroom?
Yes. How many prostitutes?
There were five or six.
Not counting Red, the guy?
No, not counting Red, there were six.
My God, so he's got five women in the home in their marital bed while she's grocery shopping. And this man thinks he's not going to be found out. And of course he is found out because she walks in on this and she wants to divorce him. I agree with Phil. You haven't said one thing in this entire hour that mitigates this imbecile's behavior. And I underline the word imbecile.
Well, I just, if you knew Steve, you know.
If I knew Steve.
Yes, sir. That's my father-in-law. Not Steve Bozell. That's me. And not Steve Dooley. That's the other guy that you have on the show. This is Steve Goodwin.
Oh, great. Steve Goodwin. Well, great. I won't have him on the show. There's no reason to.
Well, he's a very colorful man. Has very interesting stories to tell.
Oh, I'm sure he does. But he sounds like a boob. He really does.
Yeah, it sounds like he hasn't got it together. He's got to get it together.
He's got it further more together than you do.
What do you mean further more? That don't even make any sense.
I'm saying he's got way more together than you do, Dickman. And compared to him, he's Albert Einstein compared to you.
Yeah, well, I'm not so dumb I won't tell somebody to go grocery shopping. I'm going to be in there with a guy and five women and daisy chaining it.
Yeah, well, maybe you never.
You know what? Whatever you got in your mouth, you better spit it out.
Hey, you know something? Just because I talk like I'm all scared and everything, I can get angry too.
Yeah, what year? You're the stupidest guy.
All right, hold on.
You said I could talk.
Yeah, and you're done talking.
Well, I don't see how it is you expect me to engage some guy that put his head through whatever he says he put his head through.
It was a tree, Mr. Bozell. Why do you have a hard time with that?
I have a hard time. I'm listening to this guy, and I heard he stuck his head willingly into something.
He stuck his head willingly into something. Well, if you got that from R.C. Call... okay, so let's take some phone calls here. Our number is 855-500-7445. We're talking about marriages. Should they be saved? Can they not be saved? At what point does a marriage... At what point is a marriage not to be saved? 855-500-7445 here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And, you know, I think that I respect marriage. I do not like divorce, especially the effects that it has on other members of the family, but sometimes it's just the indicated thing. Karen, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
We're all enjoying the program. We're driving back home tonight. And we were up visiting Jerry's relatives, and Herb wanted to say something. Herb?
Bill, this is great, and I'm driving, so I can't get on the phone. It's great.
And Jerry's here. Jerry, honey.
Hey, Bill, listen, don't let anyone tell you just because a Southerner has had it very difficult that we are not people that cannot be put down. And I think that this man represents the South very poorly. And...
Let me talk. I'm going to talk to Phil because I haven't talked to my boyfriend, Phil Hendry. I love you so much, Phil. And you just bring such joy to our lives.
Well, thank you very much, Karen.
You're talking tonight. I don't want to interrupt because I know you're talking about the topic. But what are you talking about tonight? Because I want Herb to hear this.
We're talking about the fidelity that should be in a marriage. We're talking about Mr. Bozell's, you know, his in-laws.
And Margaret, this is Karen.
Hello, dear.
I know you don't like me, but I love you.
Well, you're very kind.
I love you. I love Phil. We are big Phil Hendry fans. Okay, I'm done. What did they say on the... What did they say on the camera?
They say I'm out.
I'm out. Okay, dear, I'm out.
All right, thank you very much. Again, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Let's go over to Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police joining us tonight. It's nice to be with you, Jay. How are you?
Hello, Phil. Phil Hendry.
Yeah, Jay, how are you?
Phil, I'm doing very good. Jay Santos here. I want to talk to you, Mr. Bozell, about the sex problem.
Was there a security problem on the line? Roger.
I don't know, sir. Are you talking to me?
This is KCL Citizens Auxiliary Police. You said you had someone who, there was a collection of 669 or something?
Well, Jay, this is Phil Henry. You're calling my show.
I understand that, Mr. Henry. I thought this gentleman had internal security.
Why are you thinking this is a... We're talking about marriage.
I understand that.
Jay, this is Margaret. We're talking about marriage and emotions. We're not talking about a security need of any kind.
Well, I understand that, but this gentleman said that a woman walked in on his father-in-law while he was daisy-chained, and we thought that with a certain recommendation, we'd come out and do a security check on that.
I don't know, sir, that you could do a security... What do you mean by security check?
Well, I think, sure, there are things that can be done in any home where a man is so engaged with a prostitute. If you got, for instance, head to... If both the heads are opposite, you understand what I'm saying? If his head and her head are on opposite end of the bed, and see, that's embarrassing. And you're gonna have butt up. And so all I was trying to say is that.
All right, thanks very much, Jay, for the call.
It's a free security check, sir. And you can I tell you what, do 30 days.
All right, thanks a lot for that. That's great. That's Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. I don't know what it is you're trying to pull here, bud, but how about screening some phones, okay?
I am screwing a phone. People messing it up.
All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. World famous. Man, we're getting less world famous as the days go by here with this stuff. Stephen Bozell and his father-in-law and mother-in-law, never the twain shall meet. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe that's got something to do with daisy chaining it and a security check. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Be right back. Sorry, I'm trying to do five things at once because I don't get any help in here.
I'm going to try to help.
You ain't helping nobody, man, okay?
But he wanted to find out.
I'll do it. Phil Henry Show here. Thank you very much, Mr. Bozell. We got rid of Steve and Jay. When things began to devolve into an area of we do security checks so you can daisy chain with prostitutes and not get caught by your wife, it becomes...
Well, he did. He said tag team.
Oh, well, that's great. Tag team. What difference does it make?
Don't yell at me. I'm correcting your assumption. Your assumptions?
Margaret?
No. Don't yell at me when these degenerates that you invite onto your program get something wrong. Now, that scum, Mr. Santos, is that his name?
Scum, huh?
Yeah, the scum you just had on, Santos?
Yeah.
He said that he does security checks if you're tag-teaming.
Oh, okay, well.
Oh, so you're being a smartass, is that it?
Well, but you know what? At this point, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Bozell, if you're listening to me, sir, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. Your father-in-law is a real idiot. And your mother-in-law is a bigger idiot than either one of you if she takes him back. There. Does that make things nice and clear for you? And by the way, if the headmistress at my kid's school called me up late at night and breathed into the phone like she... Buddy, I wouldn't go to the school board. I'd go to her house with a torch and a pitchfork. Man.
Would you really?
No, not really. All right, so there was a little bit of not a controversy, but something that I started this afternoon on, as we say, Facefoot, or...
I call it Facebutt.
Okay, Facebutt, if you want. Facebook. And I said that the movie Strangers... See, I'm a big Kim Novak fan. Not that, it doesn't make me 100 years old, but I'm going to tell you right now that you got to go a long way in modern filmdom to beat just how beautiful Kim Novak at her peak was. Just a knockout, man. She was gorgeous. Now, there's a lot of beautiful women in movies today. Don't get me wrong. And there's a lot of gorgeous women in film and television today. But Kim, I don't think one of them surpasses Kim Novak. She was like unreal how beautiful she was. And she wasn't a half bad actress either. But this isn't really about her. This is about the movie Strangers When We Meet. Now, when she was in this flick, she was in with the great Kirk Douglas. Now, the movie is actually pretty good. It's about a middle-class couples and their infidelities. And Kirk Douglas falls in love with Kim Novak. They're married to other people. And Kirk Douglas is married to a woman who your heart breaks for her because he leaves her and she cries. And the whole thing is just terrible. But in the film, he plays an architect. And he's looking to build his dream house. And the dream house that Kirk Douglas wants to build is this all redwood house, I guess up in the mountains, because there's only one time that I remember seeing the film, seeing the house completely finished, that is built, after he finished it. And it's like at the end of the movie, it's at the climax of the film. I think she comes to visit him and she sees the house that he's built and she, you know, compliments him. She says, "You finally did it. You finally built your dream house." And then they show you this redwood house that he built, and it's the biggest garbage can.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. It's the biggest garbage can I've ever seen.
That redwood home in Strangers When We Meet?
Yeah, it's an atrocity. If houses were war crimes, that house would swing from the gallows.
Ah, isn't that funny? You obviously don't know a thing about homes.
I'm telling you, it looks horrid. It's all red, all redwood. In fact, the funny thing about this house is there's a pool, and the pool deck is redwood. Now, look, I like redwood as far as it goes. I think it's an endangered wood now, isn't it?
What do you mean, an endangered wood?
It's a redwood tree. You've heard of them. We don't have them all over the place. There's few of them.
Yeah, but they're big and everything, and they grow big.
They grow big. You heard him.
Oh, they grow big. Well, that's great. It only takes them thousands of years to grow big. In any event, the guy makes this redwood house. I think I've actually got a picture of it. This doesn't do it justice. If you're watching Phil TV in HD, there's Kim Novak. She's coming through the door looking just like a knockout. God, boy, what a beauty. Anyway, there she is. And this is the red. And then behind her, there is Kirk Douglas. And there's the redwood house. I'm telling you, I couldn't stand to look at this thing. It wrecked the whole flick.
See, Phil and I had this discussion earlier, and you've decided to go to the audience with it now. It wasn't enough that I kicked your ass in the argument. You're now taking your case to the audience.
You didn't kick my... Where do you get off thinking you kicked my ass?
I made the point architecturally, culturally, artistically, the validity. Do you know the word validity?
Yes, I think so.
All right. The validity of that look in that home. Now, you're there in that picture right there. If you can't see the absolute subtlety and the beauty of the lines, and with Kim Novak setting the whole thing off, you'd have to be a blind man. Or so cynical, you would lift your leg to a blind man not to see the beauty in that.
You know where I see the beauty?
Well, let me guess. Kim Novak?
Yeah, there's the beauty. That's the only part of that picture that's beautiful, is her. The house is fine. It ain't the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. It's not the most, knockout thing. And when I first saw, I'm telling you right now, folks, when I first saw this redwood house, I almost busted out laughing.
Laughing?
Yeah, laughing. I almost went, ha, 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 look at how asinine that, oh, wait a minute, they're serious.
So you don't know really anything about the elegance of living, do you?
I guess not. No, I guess I don't.
What are you talking about, elegance of living? Stupid house made out of, you're not supposed to have a pool deck out of wood.
Says who?
Everybody knows you make it out of concrete.
Well, look, let me tell you something about a wood pool deck. I not that I have a swimming pool.
No, you just have the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, a block away, okay?
Oh, well.
Look, last time I checked, I can't sit in the Pacific Ocean as a jacuzzi, okay? It doesn't just heat up like that, huh? Okay?
You don't have to rub it in.
No, you know, Margaret, you go home and you sit in that jacuzzi and you're sitting in your spa and you're loving life. And see, the Pacific Ocean doesn't do that for me. In any event... Now I forgot what I was saying.
Talking about how bad, like a pool deck.
Yeah, you got a redwood pool deck. All you're getting out of that are splinters.
I'm sure they treat the pool deck with some kind of chemical that makes it so it doesn't splinter. What an oaf. You'd think, Phil, like an oaf. You think like a big, dumb, axe-wielding, deformed oaf.
What do you mean, axe-wielding?
Like Paul Bunyan.
Yeah. All right, I got this whole thing. I thought it's because I was thinking about Kim Novak.
What's the whole deal about Kim Novak?
She's gorgeous, you blind man. I was watching her in a movie one night. I said, you know, this is when I said, you know, because I don't have this feeling about too many other actors from that era, you know. But I said, man, that woman is freaking beautiful. And I said, I haven't seen anybody, you know, she's like a movie star, man.
You know that Kim Novak is still alive?
I think so, yeah.
And she... Well, what do you mean you think so?
No, I thought she is still... She's alive.
Yes, and she lives in Oregon. And she's got... I don't know if it's her or Doris Day. Which is which?
If you don't know, I ain't going to tell you.
I'm a woman, Phil. I'm not sitting at home going, oh, 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 Doris.
All right, fine. Thanks very much, everybody, for listening. We will be back. Well, we'll be back sooner or later sometime. We'll be back tomorrow night. How about that? Or tonight, as the case may be. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
Strangers when we meet.
She's about good looking. You put a guy with an axe.
What?